scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts, the second chapter, verses 14 through 24 and 32 and 33. Please feel free to follow along in your own Bible, on the screen, or in a pew Bible. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea who all live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see here. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Marcy. I'm Pastor Tom Palmer, a work-in-progress pastor in a work-in-progress congregation. So if you're a guest with us today and you don't have it all together all the time, you've come to the right place. This is a place where all are beloved, all belong, and all can become all that God has called us to be through the grace of Jesus Christ. This has been a place of grace for almost 140 years, as you see in the banners before you. A place of grace where we thank God for the gifts of God's people. I thank God for the gifts of on our students, the gifts that have been poured out upon our choir. Did you hear some of that special music today that has arranged by Bill Bershwell and Anastasia Markina? Again, God has given gifts. God has given all of us gifts that we use in accordance to the measure of faith God has given. And so we come together as a people of faith, and we come together in this message series to look at big questions that thinking people have about the Christian faith. 2 weeks ago, we talked about why God? Why believe in God when so much suffering takes place on planet Earth? A lot of people struggle with that, with the belief in a good and all-powerful God with so much suffering. And we talked about that. Only in the Christian witness do we have God coming to us, suffering with us in Jesus of Nazareth and for us in Jesus. And so we have this sense that God, even in this kind of world, is at work for good for those that love him and are called according to his plan. And then we talked last week, we looked at Jesus. Why Jesus? Why is Jesus so unique? And we considered how, again, this affirmation that God came to us in Jesus, and that we have these followers of Jesus who were all fiercely monotheistic, that somehow so experience God's presence in Jesus, particularly in his resurrection, that these people would utter what would formerly be thought of as blasphemy, as Thomas declared upon seeing the risen Lord. What did he say? My Lord and my God. worshiped Him. And then today, we're looking at the Holy Spirit. Why the Holy Spirit? I want us to note that Jesus, after His resurrection, according to the book of Acts, spent about 40 days with His disciples. And it says that Jesus met with them and He spoke with them and taught them about what? The kingdom of God. This great dream of God that we pray for every Sunday when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, where on earth as it is in heaven. He talked with them about the kingdom of God. And He said to them, he was eating with them that day. And we see in the Bible that Jesus is often eating with the disciples. Well, He's eating with them that day, and he says this to him. He says, I want you to stay. I want you to wait. This is Acts chapter 1. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. I want you to stay here because John the Baptist baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not too many days from now. And then they asked him, right after that, they asked him, Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus pushes back at them at this, and he says, "It's you are not to be about earthly kingdoms and your place in them. See, sometimes we get all caught up in our earthly little kingdoms and our little fiefdoms and my will be done. You're not to be about that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, the surrounding area, and in Samaria, that next circle, a different group, a different ethnicity, and to the ends of the earth. See, this is the gospel. God so loved the world, the cosmos, that He gave His only begotten Son. God didn't just love Israel. God didn't just love Argentina. God doesn't just love America. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. And so they were to stay. And as Jesus ascended to heaven, they stayed in Jerusalem for another 10 days. There was 40 days and then another 10 days. And they stayed in the upper room. Have you ever wondered why the devotional magazine of United Methodist Christians is called The Upper Room? Well, I'm glad you wondered that, because it is because the disciples stayed in the upper room. They prayed and they waited upon the Lord those 10 days. And then on the 10th day, the day of Pentecost, which means 50 days. 50 days from when? I'm glad you asked that question. 50 days from Passover. Passover to Pentecost is 50 days. It was another one of those festivals, those when Jews around the world were gathering. So Jews around the world were gathering. They were gathering in Jerusalem. And that's the day that the Holy Spirit, but at Pentecost they celebrated how God gave the law, but on the day of Pentecost, God gave the Holy Spirit to internalize the very essence of the law, to love God and neighbor. And so the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. They were in this upper room, but this rushing wind came among them, and they were starting to proclaim the glory of God, and they spilled out of the upper room into the streets below. And they were all of them, not just a select few. See, in the Hebrew Scriptures, often we'll see a particular prophet that's filled with the Holy Spirit. But then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. Not just a select few. These disciples started declaring the wonders of God, the good news of God, this big picture of God's kingdom. A kingdom that's beyond the barriers of language. They were able to proclaim this good news beyond the barriers of language. I don't know exactly how that happened, but they were breaking barriers. It was not just men declaring the wonders of God. It was women declaring the wonders of God. All these barriers were coming down. And these formerly fearful disciples who had locked the doors for fear were now out in the streets. They were taking him to the streets, and they were declaring the wonders of God with such boldness and with such conviction and with such enthusiasm that some people were astonished and others scoffed. Ah, they're just drunk. And that is what got Peter. Peter stands up at that point and he says, hey, they are not drunk as you suppose. There's not a restaurant in Jerusalem that's open this morning for brunch serving mimosas. They are not drunk as you suppose. And I want to say this as well. They were declaring the wonders of God. The Spirit was upon them. And this was before caffeine, friends. They were filled with the Spirit before caffeine, before coffee. Friends, I don't want to preach without coffee. I don't want you to listen without coffee, okay? Now, don't drink too much because you'll be leaving. You know how that works. But Peter said, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is to fulfill what the prophet Joel declared by the Spirit of God generations ago. Generations ago, he said, there will be a day. There will be a day when I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Did you notice that? Sons and your daughters will prophesy. Why do we believe God calls sons and daughters into ordained ministry? Because the Scripture says your sons and your daughters will prophesy, will proclaim God's good news. Your young will see visions, and your less young will dream dreams. That's the Palmer paraphrase. I'm not liking old, you know, anymore. You know, it's the young and the less young are going to see visions and dreams. I will pour out my Spirit on all economic conditions. Even the servants will be speaking my word, male and female. And why is this happening? Why is this Spirit being poured out? Because this Jesus, whom some of you cried out, crucify him 7 weeks ago Friday. Some of you cried out, crucify him. God took that rejection upon himself. God took all our spite and our hate and our sin upon himself on the cross. And what did God say in Jesus? Forgive. Forgive, forgive. And so this which was humankind's greatest rejection of God became God's greatest embrace of humankind. God's love. God's love. That this Jesus whom you cried out, crucify him, God raised him up. And we are witnesses to this, all of us. And now exalted to the right hand of God, ascended into heaven, he has poured out what you see and hear. Poured out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so this is how kind of it worked for the earliest followers of Jesus. They worshiped the God who created them in love, but then began to see that God was in their midst, God with us in Jesus, and that he redeemed them in love. And then Jesus ascended to heaven, gave the Spirit of love, poured out the Spirit of love, to be with us forever, the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit of God's love is with us forever. Not on a select few, but available to all. The Spirit of love forever. I've been a pastor for many years, and in just about every congregation, I've had conversations with parishioners about, wouldn't it have been cool to have lived in the time of Jesus and to be able to experience. Wouldn't it have been cool to be on that hillside in the Galilee off of the Sea of Galilee to hear the Sermon on the Mount? Wouldn't it have been cool to be able to witness some of his miracles? Wouldn't it have been cool to have been there to be able to see him? And it would have been. But Jesus tells his disciples, in his last night with them in the Gospel of John, it is to your advantage that I go away. Why would it be to our advantage that Jesus is no longer with us on planet Earth for us to be able to see and to touch? He says that if I don't go away, I will always be localized by time and space. You know, Jesus could only be at one place at a time. But if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, to be with you, with you, with you forever. And so wherever you go, God is already there. And God is there forever. Wherever we go, whatever we may do, God is with us and God is before us. We don't need to fear the future because God's already there to be with us forever. And so the earliest followers of Jesus were empowered and emboldened by this spirit of love that they experienced. They were experiencing this Holy Spirit within them, giving them life and faith and boldness and reminding them of all that Jesus did. This Holy Spirit was with them, and so they were empowered by that. The church grew by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then they started, Mark Edwards talks about this. He's from Oxford. He's probably one of the foremost scholars of early Christian origins. He talked about that the earliest Christians, because of this experience of God and the Son and the Spirit, began baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They started singing and offering praise. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I used to kind of wonder about that when I was growing up in the church. What's this ghost? And well, that's King James, okay? It's not, Holy Spirit's not a ghost. It's just King James, and it rhymes with heavenly host. So it makes a good song, you know, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But it's the Holy Spirit. They started praising Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they started blessing one another. We see this blessing at the end of 2 Corinthians. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Just a couple of generations, three generations later, there was this attorney from Carthage, North Africa, by the name of Tertullian. And Tertullian took this theme that he saw throughout the Scriptures, and he said, I'm going to call it a Trinitas in Latin. Trinitas, or Trinity. You look in vain to see Trinity in the Bible. It's not in there. But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this work, this triune mystery, and it is a mystery. I can't figure it out. No one has figured that out. But this threeness and oneness all together, God in three persons, we sing in Holy, 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 Blessed Trinity. The mystery of God somehow working in ways beyond our comprehension, but creating us, redeeming us, and empowering us, filling us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit filled that early church. And that early church grew by the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit of love led them to love on orphans and love on the ill and cross boundaries and barriers. And that church grew and grew and grew in the power of the Spirit. But things happen. And sometimes in the history of a group of people, because people are people, sometimes we people trust in earthly power more than we do holy power, the Holy Spirit. We saw that in the disciples when they gathered. Is now the time that the kingdom's come to Israel and we get to reign? No. No, it's not about earthly fiefdoms. It's about God's great kingdom. But sometimes in the history of the church, John Wesley saw it this way. John Wesley said, you know, at the time of when the church became powerful in an earthly kind of way, when we started getting powerful politically And we there's something about power. When you start tasting power, you start relying less on God's power. And where you see that in the history of the church, I believe this to be true, wherever there have been abuses, wherever Christians have not acted like Christ, and they're unfortunately legion, it's when we trusted more in earthly power, our own little kingdoms, our own little fiefdoms, my will be done, my precious. When we are all about our little kingdoms, that's when we have done the worst. But there have been times in the history of the church when people became open to the Holy Spirit. And you see this in the great monastic movements, Francis of Assisi and Teresa of Avila. You see this in some of the movement of the Reformation and the Wesleyan Revival. And in the Wesleyan Revival, we see this move of the Holy Spirit across Britain, across America, and then to the ends of the earth. This move of the Holy Spirit. But John Wesley, interestingly enough, although God used John Wesley in a mighty way, and the people that were open to God's Spirit in that day, when he was in his mid-80s, he wrote this. He said, I do not fear. I am not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist in Europe or in America. But I am afraid that they might simply exist as a dead sect with the form of religion, but denying its power. And he says this, he writes this, he says, this undoubtedly will be the case unless they hold fast to the doctrine, the spirit, and the discipline with which they started out. What that says to me, what that reminds me is John Wesley looking back on a tremendous revival, a tremendous awakening of God's Spirit, is that it's not automatic. That we human beings, that this human being has a tendency to trust in my will be done rather than thy will be done. And so there's always an opportunity to be awakened, to be awakened, to be awakened. On Easter evening, John's Gospel tells us that Jesus came into that locked room and he presented himself to the disciples and he said, peace be with you. He said these words, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. You. And then he breathed on them, that breath of God, the ruah of God. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's so important for me because it reminds me that I am sent. Every day I get up and I know I am sent. As the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends me and you. We're sent. We're sent into the world, but we're sent in the world not of our own strength and our own power and our own little agendas, because those will one day go away. They won't last. Our little fiefdoms, our little my will be done, our little kingdoms will not last. They will crumble. But we are sent with a kingdom, the kingdom of God, that which will last forever. And so we go with the Spirit's power. So send I you, receive the Holy Spirit. What that reminds me is I need to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. You know, we're receptive to a lot of things. I get up in the morning and I say, come, O email, come. I say, come, O Amazon package that I've been longing for, come. I say, come, stock market, come, 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 economic machine, come, continue to come, my retirement's coming, build, 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 come. We're receptive to a lot of things. But I need to be more receptive to the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, wait, wait, and receive power. The only way to do that, God doesn't come where uninvited. God comes when we are receptive. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? I invite you to maybe just cup your hands or in some way offer yourself in receptivity to God. And just pray this prayer to yourself. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Empower us, O God. Pour out your love into our hearts afresh. And may we be your hands and feet of love, not clinging to earthly power, but depending on your power, as you have sent us into the world in the power of your Spirit. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit.